Let's turn the tables. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel provides you with comprehensible input. This channel is here to help you with listening comprehension and eventually speaking ability. If you need to know more about comprehensible input, I have a lot of videos on that topic. I started by saying we should turn the tables. That expression is a very old expression. It goes back to ancient times. My understanding is in ancient times, in ancient Rome, they played table games or board games. They played a game similar to backgammon. Sometimes it was the practice to play for a while and then turn the board around and adopt your opponent's position. That was turning the tables. When we use turn the tables in the modern era, it is metaphorical. We're talking about adopting a new perspective or coming at a problem from a different direction. We're talking about changing the course of events. In language learning, we get a lot of messaging. It comes from other people, it comes from online sources, and it comes from ourselves, our past experience. These are messages or thoughts going through our head that may or may not be very helpful to us in our quest to learn our target language. I'd like to go through 8 points where we can turn the tables on what could be considered unfortunate messaging and have it work for us. Let's get started. Number one, I'm too old to learn a language. It has been said that really the great language learners are the little children below the age of 5, and that for most of us adults, learning a language is really difficult or maybe even impossible. Some espouse the critical age theory that if you didn't learn a language by the time you were 5 years old, you had missed that opportunity. For the most part, the critical age theory has been discredited. Certainly, little children have more neuroplasticity than do adults, but that doesn't really help us because once you're an adult, there is nothing you can do to recapture your youth. So I don't find it very useful to lament that I am learning a new language as an adult. I have enjoyed this concept that I'm too old to learn a new language because basically I'm going to learn in spite of that. You could say, they said it couldn't be done, so I did it. In that respect, I am learning Spanish for sport, for enjoyment, because conventional wisdom is that a fellow over the age of 60 couldn't possibly learn another language. I'm going to prove them wrong. Number two, this message comes from inside us. That is, I can't do it. I've failed so many times in the past, I just can't do it. We need to get beyond that. The reality is, previous failure does not predict that you will always fail. It has been said that previous failure is what happens before you succeed. We don't celebrate inventors who failed a few times and then just gave up. We celebrate inventors who failed multiple times but persevered and succeeded well. Number three, another message that may come from inside of us. That is, I don't have a special talent for learning languages. I just don't have a knack for it. This is a common belief, and it doesn't help. It also doesn't make sense. The human brain has evolved to acquire languages. Our species is incredibly good at learning languages. With comprehensible input, we harness our natural ability. And if you have sufficient contact with your target language, learning it, that is acquiring it, is relentless. Don't tell yourself that you don't have a special knack. No. Number four, in order to learn a language as an adult, you have to be some sort of special genius. This is simply not true. Ordinary people in contact with the target language over a long enough period of time with sufficient focus will acquire that language. Special genius is not required for language learning. Number five is something we may be doing to ourselves. We may be judging our progress too harshly. When we learn things in school, we took tests along the way, and the tests would give us feedback as to how we are progressing. It would give us a sense of progress. With comprehensible input, ideally, we're not taking tests. And so we don't get a lot of milestones in our progress that tell us how we're doing. That may make some of us tempted to go online and seek out testing and try to determine if we are A1, A2, B1, etc. Of course, that doesn't help us. You don't learn anything by taking those tests. Now that I am using comprehensible input, I just trust the system. I don't worry on a day-to-day basis whether I've learned anything. I just get more input, and I know that learning is relentless. Number six, many of us are encouraged to speak early. That is, to produce language that we don't yet know. This is typical of traditional language learning methods, and it can cause tremendous frustration. Certainly, there are people who need to use their target language sooner. If you are living in an English-speaking country, you need English to conduct your affairs, then for sure speak your target language, speak English. If you don't need to use it, don't be in a big hurry to try to prematurely produce a language until you have imported it into your mind. You don't need that frustration. People who have to use their target language early usually experience more frustration, but they also experience more rapid growth because they are immersed in the language. And every time they speak with someone else in their target language, they get more input. It generates more input. We can't always control the circumstances under which we are learning our language. If you have to speak, speak. Expect more frustration, but expect more rapid learning. Number seven, it is common for us to experience embarrassment when we try to speak with native speakers. We have trouble finding the words, we freeze up, and the whole experience is embarrassing. That happens to most of us. Over time, it becomes less and less frequent. One of the strategies that I use when speaking with a native speaker is I let them do most of the talking. I just provide enough prompts in the conversation to keep it going and let them provide me with a lot of input. That strategy will decrease your frustration and it'll get you a lot more input. And number eight is one of my favorites. It is a manufactured problem that you can see online. It is a criticism of comprehensible input because it's passive. My immediate response to that is nonsense. What it tells me is that the person espousing that opinion is not very familiar with comprehensible input. Well done comprehensible input is far from passive. for it to work well, you need your attention to be laser focused on that topic. You need to be following the story, following the discussion as if you were participating in it by speaking. You need to be a fantastic, focused listener, and that is not passive. After one has built a very robust mental image of the target language, in this case English, usually the language just starts coming out. It just emerges. Frequently, our circumstances require us to speak. Comprehensible input doesn't really focus on this output phase because it happens. It is human behavior, and it usually doesn't need a lot of encouragement. The reason I showcased some of these negative messages is they're super common and they can interfere with our progress. For most of us, the answer is a lot more input. For me, a lot more input than I initially expected. But as I go forward getting more and more input, I also find that it is easier, more interesting, and more enjoyable. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.